This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Em. How you doing?
You know what? That's a loaded question to ask you right now. How you doing? You can start.
I think when you asked me yesterday and you said, hey, how you doing? We like to check in with each other because, you know, we're on a constant roller coaster of emotions. And
We feel so many things.
And so Em texted me yesterday and she said, how are you doing? And my answer was, That's how I was saying it. I texted her, but that's
it's usually oof.
Oof. Yeah, I changed
usually
it.
Usually you're oof.
It was And so it honestly fluctuates from day to day.
Yes.
Right now, I'm just so tired.
I know. We've been working a ton. I think that in today's episode, we're going to talk about magical thinking. Because I think there was a magical thinking we all had was that when we got out of the mask mandates and when we got out of, you know, for the most part, COVID.
We can see everyone again.
When we can see everyone, when it's summer, when things are open up, we're not going to feel so bad. It's going to be less busy. We're going to enter in. We're not going to take things for granted. And it kind of feels like we were like, oh, everyone's like, oh, slow and steady wins the race. And then one person started running and we're all like, we must move faster. And the rat race began, baby.
Well, I also think it's like everyone, like the way we described it is like, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, that was so silly.
And then we get to the light and then we're like, wait, why am I still depressed?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So like, so the magical thinking was when COVID is over, we'll all feel better.
But apparently that's not the case.
Right. Well, and some people would say, well, COVID's not over. And I understand. But what we mean by that is when things are open up again, when the mandates are over.
When we
right?
have more social connection. And I think there are pieces of it that are really helpful. Like, I mean, I know I talk about how much of an introvert I am.
Yeah.
But like, I really do enjoy seeing people yeah. and connecting with people in doses. You know, like I, of course, need to shut my brain off, too. But let me ask you, Em, how are you doing?
So, well, like I said, that's a loaded question to ask me. My child stopped sleeping through the night, so I have not gotten a full night's sleep in a very long time. So, of course, anytime we're depleted of sleep, like, you slightly lose your mind, and then it's been really hot outside, right?
But okay, it is so...
It's fucking melting humid. In Philadelphia. Holy shit. I don't know where other people are located, but good God, it's hot here, right? And it's so crazy, right? Because if you think about the Pacific Northwest, like Seattle and Portland and shit, people, they don't even have freaking air conditioning because it never gets that high. And they were like racking up like 108 this week. So I have no idea how Pacific Northwest people have been dealing with it.
My God.
Uh-huh.
It's really... For anyone who has anxiety, the humidity...
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It just makes you feel...
That's funny you say anxiety, because I feel, as someone who has anger...
Which I feel is very connected. Very connected. Anxiety is like the like your internal experience, and I think like if you were to externalize it, it turns into anger.
Yes.
In some ways. But anyway, like the humidity just mimics this like feeling of claustrophobia.
Yes.
And like feeling very stuck.
Uh-huh. Which for me makes me want to rage out.
Yeah.
Me,
and that, it makes me more so want to have a panic attack. Like,
yes.
I'm
okay.
Stuck.
Mine is like, I want to like, you know, have road rage or go after people.
Now that we're talking about it, do you think it's just the humidity?
Do you think Bruno's really hot? I don't know. I think I'm tired. I think it's the humidity. I think it's that I do feel like there's been a big part of, like, right, like, the rat race. And it's interesting because we get this really interesting perspective based on, like, numbers of who's coming into the office, yes, right? So, like, we keep track of how many intakes come in a week and how many intakes.
What days they come in. Mondays are a hot day.
Holy
for
shit.
Yes.
In the month of June, on Mondays, our phones do not stop ringing and our email does not stop dinging.
Yes.
Because of how many people trying to get beautiful in for appointments. Dinging? Ding-a-ling-a-ling. That's what you liked? What does your email
do? I don't know. It sounded
ding
like a...
What does it do?
And I like, ba-da-doom.
Okay, I mean, I have not had my sound on my
computer.
I was just
going to say, I just lied.
So I have no idea what that noise actually is, right? But you can see, and so for me, it makes me think maybe other people had this idea of magical thinking that... once we get to the summer, once the mandate was over, blah, 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 insert here, that we'd feel better.
And we honestly,
based on our numbers.
That is actually not the case. We really did expect that, though, in a lot of ways, didn't we? And it makes, you know, when we think about us expecting that, number one, for ourselves and for clients coming in, like, it speaks to our magical thinking. And
yes, true.
And which is why we wanted to do this episode, because... you know, like, our assumption is that other people are feeling this way, and that one of the amazing parts of our job is that we get to talk to people all the time, mm-hmm, and that it really makes us in a lot of ways not,
yes,
feel alone, you know, because we realize that we're not the only ones going through it. And so I think is a big part of this too, is like, we want you to know you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
Like, actually a lot of people are feeling this and they're still struggling.
So let's talk about what magical thinking is, right? So magical thinking is a type of cognitive distortion. There's a ton into this. If you are interested in learning more about cognitive distortions, you can read David Byrne's Feeling Good Handbook.
It's gigantic.
It's gigantic, but it actually is very interesting with very good activities. But yeah, it's like the largest book that in the entire world. David Byrne's. I did a remember when I did an in-person training with him?
Yes.
And I got on stage with him.
Is that
and
the
one
you did with your mom?
Of course. Nice. When my mom and I attend continuing
nice,
education
nice
together.
Nice holding.
Got to get those hours, baby. So magical thinking is basically... once this happens, then this, right? Jen's pulling up the actual definition.
The belief that one's ideas, thoughts, actions, words, or use of symbols can influence the course of events in the material world. What the fuck did I pull up?
Okay, well, so that would be a different cognitive
Listen, I just Googled real quick. Hold up. Let me write
right?
cognitive distortion next.
So, time. Wait. that's basically like, if I think, okay, here's what, like, I've had people say this one a lot. So that type of magical thinking they're describing as is like,
I got it.
I had a miscarriage, but I was overwhelmed and I was pregnant. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, why did I do this? And then I had a miscarriage and I caused it. So that's the type of magical thinking they're referring to there.
Yes. I mean, I think if I read more into it, but
yes,
as I was
yes,
reading
but that's,
it,
yeah, yeah.
As I was reading it, Emily and I looked at each other. We were like, no.
We were like, we better stop recording right
second.
Now.
Magical thinking is a type of cognitive distortion or an accurate thought pattern in which individuals believe that their thoughts or actions will directly influence and produce a specific outcome, either positive or negative. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. Here's my favorite one. The number one. Once I lose X amount of pounds, I'll be happy.
Right. Or once I, you know, get married.
Yes.
I will be happy. Or
and it's
our
also,
relationship
so,
will change.
So it,
that's a good
so
one.
So it's also sometimes referred to as ducks in a row theory, right? Once I buy the house, once I get married, once I find the person, then I won't feel A, B, and C, right? This is not true. Feelings are feelings. And I had this. So, like, as Jen knows, I was supposed to put a pool in my house this summer. As most people know, anyone who's doing construction this year, it's a goddamn shit show. Everything's delayed. There's some boat in a canal. I don't fucking know. I'm assuming my boat's on the canal.
What?
No. You know that
boat's
big,
on the
you
canal?
Know the, you know the huge boat that got caught in the Suez Canal?
Oh, right. Is that bar? Is that?
I don't
that
think
effective?
So. But in my head, I would like to pretend that's
the magical
reason.
Thinking.
That's my magical thinking. I don't know if that's a magical thing.
Yeah, I don't have a front door.
Yeah, you don't have a front door. Jen's been waiting for a fucking front
my
door.
My front door does not fit into my house. If
yes.
you're in Philly and you see a door that doesn't fit
that's Jen's
into
house.
My house, that's my house.
So, yeah, everything's a mess, right? But in my head, I was like, great. I'm going to put this pool in. It's going to help me.
You're going to have these like, what were those Friday nights you were going to have?
We were going to have open house Fridays, right? We're going to do open Fridays where like anyone's invited over. We're going to grill food every Friday. Like in my head, I was like, things are going to get better. I'm going to have more social interaction. I'm going to start taking Fridays off. I'm going to start having more work-life balance. And then it didn't happen. And when you put all of your eggs in one basket like that, they crash so hard when that basket gets fucking poured out.
Well, I think sometimes...
I just got scrambled eggs now.
Scrambled eggs.
Undercooked.
I think sometimes the reason why we resort to magical thinking is because it's easier than looking at what's happening internally. Mm. Right? Like, it's so much easier to say... Okay, like when this happens, it feels in a way, for some reason, like, okay, this is in my control a little bit more if I think about it in this way. Or it's almost like the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, okay, when I get this pool, I'm going to be better, or things are going to be better, as opposed to saying, okay, what am I feeling in this moment?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything I can do for myself right now? Because it's so much easier to look into the future and say, like, I'm going to – because it almost allows you to distance yourself from what you're feeling now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can say, okay, I'm going to focus on this instead of think about what's going on for me now. Because, too, you know, especially with depression, right, if we're struggling with depression, it can be really hard to sit with that and hard to know what to do with it.
Yeah. I feel like there is, like, this other part of – magical thinking, my favorite one, that goes a lot into toxic positivity, which is like, if you just choose to be happy, if I think myself into happiness, if I think myself out of depression, if I just don't be anxious,
just be grateful,
just be grateful.
Understand, just calm down. That's my favorite. Just calm down sometimes, or like just relax.
Okay, so we'll expose me right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is. Jen and I earlier, we talked about it. I've been having a very hard time. I lost someone close to me, you know, a very good neighbor of ours to suicide. I've been having a hard time with that. I've been very busy, have a lot going on, right? Okay. And so part of that is I've also been crying a lot because I'm someone who typically tries to keep everything together.
I'm very proud of you.
I know. Thank you. And I've been working very, very, very hard in therapy this year to really work on integrating my feelings and experiencing them and like feeling through it and not trying to numb them and like stay busy, right? And so with that, I've been having a lot more tears. And so my 2.5-year-old has been saying to me, "Mommy, don't cry." Oh. And part of that is like, I struggle with this, right? Because part of it's like, no, we should be in front of our kids and we should let them see emotions. And then also when your kid is telling you to not cry.
Oh my God.
That'll fuck you.
So,
if you listen to one of our latest episodes titled "Em and Jen Fall Apart," you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Emily's telling me this story in the hallway, probably about like an hour ago. And as she's telling me, she starts crying. As soon as Emily cries, I start crying. And so
everyone's crying. Then Nikki comes in and she starts crying because we're crying.
We are in our business that we run, where therapists are coming in. They're seeing clients.
There's so many people here. It's a very professional setting. We're crying in the hallway.
We're in the hallway.
Because we're also trying to, because also while crying, we don't stop working.
Right.
Because that is not us.
That's how we cope.
So we're also still putting up these beautiful new pictures while sobbing.
So funny. I was
and somebody would walk in and be like, why do we pay these women all this money? I mean, like, it makes but because therapists are not one fucking way. There is no such thing as being fully healed. I have no fucking idea what that is.
That's not a thing. No, I think that's magical thinking, to believe that you will get to a point in therapy where you are fully healed.
God,
right?
That's so sad, right? Like, in your head, though,
you're like, it would be an end
so
point.
Cool, but that's what we're all doing, right? And that's the whole thing of it. Once I weigh this amount, once I get into grad school, once I get married, once I blah 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 blah, blah yada yada blah, yada, blah, blah. Right? But then I'll feel so good. And it's like, well, no, like, the world still exists, and like, nothing's perfect, and like, life keeps happening. And fuck, man, that hurts.
I think that I might be about to say something that it's very pessimistic or
morbid,
but I think that in some ways our society benefits off of this idea that we're going to reach this point of perfection or idealism because of consumerism.
No, dude, I think you're totally right. I think there's a big part of it is capitalism, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Like that it's...
And everyone knows my feelings around capitalism.
Right.
If you've heard any other episode
If you
before.
Want to share them. No, but I think that we really benefit, right? Like if we're like, oh, if you take these... The fucking diet culture, right?
Yes.
If you take these pills or do this diet, you're going to reach this place where you are so happy. And I think...
If you're the CEO of the company, if you make this much money. And like, I think that's the facade, right? Like it looks so good.
Yes.
And when you're in it, you're like, fuck, it's just the same, man. It's just working. I think that there is, the reality is you and I wouldn't be happy working for someone else. I don't think
that's for sure.
Right? Like, I mean, we were even saying, right? So like, as everyone knows, like, we joined a podcast network, Podcast Nation. We're so excited. We felt very honored to ask us. But it's also hard, like, being involved with someone else. We've never had to do that. Like, that's been a really hard transition for us.
So hard.
Because we're like, we don't want a mom. Like,
like there's like a very rebels.
Like, yes. It's like a childlike part of you is like, I don't want to do that. Right? Like, even if it's like nothing bad, like there's still part of you that's like, I gotta resist.
I think I just have trouble talking so much. You know, I became a therapist to listen. You know?
The podcast is
like
talking.
Really listen. And I'm just, there's so much talking involved.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's, you know, if we're talking about magical thinking, like, okay, are we going to get to a point where we're like, oh, this is, you know, we have reached this ideal.
Well, okay, so Jen, great question for you, right? Like, it's like an exposure therapy part of it, right? Which is like, you said yourself, this will get easier. Something I've always heard you say is like, I just have to make myself do it. And like, once I do it and once I get past the initial thing, then it's easier.
Yeah.
So I would stand by that.
Like, okay. Right now, as we're doing this, I feel totally fine. Don't I look real relaxed right now?
Okay, Jen also, like, okay. Jen is also like, Jen is one third of my body weight. You are like so small, and she's in wearing my sweater right now, and she looks like it is like a child wearing her grandfather's sweater. It is very cute. You are adorable.
Thank you so much. I feel very relaxed just thinking about having to talk this much.
We did also just eat a lot of mozzarella sticks,
which I think was very helpful. Always helps us. Always very helpful for us. No, but I think just in general, you're right that once I get going on things, I feel fine.
Yeah.
But thinking about doing things.
Well, there's this other part, which we were just talking about this, which is I am so incredibly fulfilled by being a therapist. I love my clients. I love what I do. But it's still a fucking job.
Yeah.
Everything is still a job, right? Like, I still have to pay my bills and still do everything. I still have to make sure enough money's coming in. And, like, and I think that no matter what you're doing, even if you love everything, I think this is the facade of it all, right? If you work for yourself and you get to make your own hours, there's a saying that says, like, work for yourself so you don't have to work 9 to 5. You just work 24 hours a day.
Oh, you texted me that this morning. I meant to respond.
You did not respond to me. That's fine. I don't worry. I texted you 50 times.
Because I saw it and I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, shit.
So there's a part, though, but even when it's yourself, like, and I think you kind of have to say, like, what's better for me, right? Like, and, like, I said to Jen today, like, I said, I'm at a point where, like, it can't be about money anymore. Like, it has to be about time. Like, for me, it's not even, like, my incentive isn't money at this point. Like, I would rather make less money and have more time with my family and have more balance, because I can't do it much longer.
Which is so, but, yeah. But I think that that's, to be able to say that and get quiet with yourself and to say, and maybe cry to yourself a little bit.
According to my daughter. Cry to your daughter.
Really figure out, you know, because that changes over time, right? Like, you didn't always feel that way. Mm-hmm.
For a long time it was about making X amount of dollars, right, to do X amount of things, right? Right, like, and the reality is that when people say money doesn't buy happiness, that's a fucking lie,
right?
Money makes your life easier in so many ways, which leads to a lot more happiness. Like,
there's a lot more space to, yes, like, take care of yourself, yeah, to figure out what makes you happy. But I think something really important and something we've talked about before is that there's this idea that we have, that we've grown up to believe, that if we get all of our ducks in a row, right, if we reach all of these goals, we are going to reach this ultimate destination of happiness that never goes away. And that's the thing about that is that happiness is an emotion just like anything else.
Anything else comes and goes, baby.
It comes and goes. And so
there's no permanent state.
Exactly. So it's not about reaching this everlasting state of happiness. I mean, unless you're on some good drugs that keep you there.
But I guess the thing about that
doesn't last either.
The thing about, yeah, exactly. You just have to keep doing more and more, and then you just OD, right? Right. Like part of that is, like, even when you do, and I think that's the thing. Well, you could talk about any of that as a drug, right? Like, once I could get really into a workout, or I could lose the weight, but then it all turns into numbing behavior. Same with work, right? I can throw myself into my business and feel so good, and then sometimes it then takes over. Like, there's a certain point where we kind of lose control of it all. You're looking at me.
My mind.
Okay, what do you want to say?
I don't know if I was just, like, shutting down, because I'm not sure.
The color in your face completely just dropped.
I was thinking, honestly, here's what I was thinking about. I don't know if it's so off topic, but I was talking to my brother. I, like, cannot talk to my family without having, like, deep analytical conversations. Yeah. Like, I went to dinner with my parents and I was just like, so, like, which one of you do you think is going to die first?
Oh my God, that's fucked.
My parents, I don't know why they still want to go to dinner with me, because, like, all I do.
What'd they say?
My dad said my dad.
Wait, your dad said himself?
My dad said
his
himself.
Own. Well, okay. Yeah. Statistically, men die sooner.
Yeah. So anyway, that wasn't the point. That I was talking to my brother, having an analytical conversation, and we were talking about how he was like, why do you think both of us fill a void that we somehow have with work?
Oof.
And I was like, oof. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper into that.
Did you talk to your therapist about it? What'd they say?
No, this was after my therapy appointment. But which
gotta write that down.
I did. I was like, oh my God, I gotta write this down. No, but I think we all learn, right, that we have to, we get to do certain things. Or if we, right, so like for maybe for me and my brother, it's like, okay, maybe if we work and reach this ultimate destination of like success, mm-hmm. that's going to equal this ultimate happiness, right? As opposed to saying like, well, what am I missing, right? Like, how do I feel what's happening for me right in this moment? I think everyone does that in different ways, right? Where they're like, okay, I'm going to try to fill this with, you know, sometimes it's numbing behavior. If I do, you look like you're shutting down now.
No. I'm with you right here.
But I just, I think debunking the myth that is the ultimate destination, yeah. I think that's the key. And that's where it comes back to magical thinking. I think we've been taught to think magically.
Ooh. Well, that's because, I mean, I said to you earlier today, I said, did I just walk into an alternate universe? There was a moment we were putting up pictures on the wall. We're in our office that we're in, specifically of our Westchester location. It's a very old building. It was actually a bird hatchery in, like, the 1800s. Like, they, like, made a, like, I don't know. They just hatched a lot of birds.
I swear to God.
Did I make that up?
I don't know. Because every time... I swear to God, I think so. You said it was something else before. It like turns into
It was always a bird hatchery, but there is like horsehair in the walls.
What?
Because that's how they used to make concrete.
Wait. Hold on. I have so many.
We call Brian the landlord.
We have to talk to him.
Let's call Brian the landlord after
Wait,
this.
First all right. of all, there's horsehair in the walls, and that's how they make concrete. I'm sorry, what?
That's what it used to be. Okay. It's funny because I don't know dates, right? Like, I'm like in the olden days.
Okay. Back in the day.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, so whatever. In our Westchester location, it's a really old building. The floors are uneven. It always is like, whenever we're hanging stuff, I'm like, why does it look so bad? And we're like, oh, because this entire fucking building is slanted.
It's
a historical building. And in Westchester, which is like a historical town, you like can't do shit to historical buildings. Like, it's like basically your if like your building is like a historical monument or whatever, some shit. Okay, so we're like standing in the hallway and I'm like, I feel like I entered a portal. Like, I was like, I don't feel like I'm like connected to this earth. I don't know if this is planetary alignment or what, but I was like slightly losing my mind, right? And it was funny because now I'll tell a story about if the person is listening to this, I am so sorry, and I'll explain why. Last Thursday, I had another really tough day. I mean, to the point where I called Jen, well, I was before we got to the office, and I said, I don't know if I can walk in and do it today. Like, I am really struggling. And it was the day before the funeral, and I was like really having a hard time. So we left work early that day. We just did a few little things, and then we left. And I went to go meet my friend Amy and her kids with my daughter at the playground. So we're at the playground, and we're, you know, by the sand pit. The kids are having fun. I'm, like, you know, talking to Amy. And a woman comes up, and she says, I just wanted to I say hello, and I love your podcast. And I was like, okay. And I left my body. I completely froze.
Wow.
I was, like, there. I was already in such a headspace, you know what I mean, of, like, not being present. So if this person is listening,
that
I'm
was, like,
so
not the time
insanely
for you.
Sorry. I usually would be in a much better state, but I was, like, in an alternate universe. And there was a part of, like, oh, man, like, people, like, you know, you get you start to get recognized, and it's, like, it's incredibly uncomfortable, right? Part of being a therapist is, like, being on the sidelines.
Oof.
Right? Like, we're just this, like, back shadow
figure. Also, we've also been taught, like, to not bring any of your personal life into it at all. And so that's a little bit of the conflict with the podcast, too, is we bring, you know, we talk about ourselves all the time. Mm-hmm. And
it was so nice. Like, she was so sweet and so nice and so kind. And her, and her child was so adorable. And, like, and Millie's, like, playing. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, and my initial thought was, though, that, like, I am not going to be as interesting to this woman in person as I am on a podcast,
oh my
right?
God, you didn't even,
like,
tell me that.
Like, my first thought was, like, I don't know what to say. I'm frozen. I'm sitting here in so much grief, like, right? Like, yeah, and if you're listening, I hope to see you at the parks.
You're like, I am going to work on it.
And I'll work on it just for you.
No, but I think
because
that
that's who I am.
But I think that that's such an important thing to recognize is, like, we're not like this all the time.
No, like, we're, like, still
we
like
have,
humans.
But here's the thing.
We sometimes that are shut down and grieving
we
and
have
other things happening.
But we have to turn it on for the podcast. We have to have these conversations.
I don't know. Should I just show up next week and just cry the whole time?
Yes. We'll have a therapy session.
No one will ever listen again.
No. But I think that that's important to note. We think these conversations are so important, that which is, number one, why we do the podcast. We've gotten such good feedback on it. But I think it's so important, and this is why we do it, is to talk about the fact that, like, we're not in this state all the time.
No. Well, and it's funny, right? Because there's also this other part where, like, you can't please everyone. Like, so then, like, we got this other feedback that our podcasts aren't organized enough. And so we've been trying to make them more organized. But, like, that also doesn't always feel super authentic.
And then
either.
We came in today. We're like, let's just talk.
Let's just talk about anything. Fuck
let's
it.
Just talk to each other. Listen, some of them are going to be gems. Some of them are not. And but
it's
I think
a story of my damn life.
Story of here's the thing. Story of everyone's lives. That is the point of our podcast, is to make this authentic.
Yeah.
And the only way to make this authentic is to show up how we are.
I think that that's such a good reminder, right? That, like, at the end of the day, if you crawl into bed and you're like, well, that one was a bust. Like, that, like, I think that there's something really special about honoring that and saying it and releasing it, right? Like, if I was to actually imagine that, like, this is a bust, like, releasing into the air and letting it go, and, like, I get to be a different human tomorrow, and I get to try again tomorrow. And what else can we do besides fuck up and move on and grow and, like, do all this shit?
And I talk to clients about that a lot, right? Because when you're in therapy, once again, there's an idea that there's this goal. Mm-hmm. You're going to reach this goal where you've got it all together and you never have difficult days. I have to consistently remind my clients that I don't care if you come to therapy every single day. You will still have bad days. You're still going to have anxiety. You might have better ways to cope with it. But there are going to be good days and there's going to be bad days. And there's times in which you're going to struggle. You will not ever reach this ultimate destination of happiness. Hopefully you will optimize those days, right? You'll be able to feel them more fully. But you will also be able to allow yourself to feel the difficult days more fully, that you won't judge yourself for them. You won't shame yourself for them. And I think that's really the key, and why I think our podcast, it's important for our podcast to also reflect that, that there's days that we're going to be real organized. We're going to have guests on. And then there's days where we're going to shoot the shit with each other and we're going to be struggling.
But at least we'll be honest about it.
But at least we'll be honest about
it. Yeah, at least we'll be, like, we promise to be super honest about it.
Because that's what our podcast is about. It's about being honest. It's about being authentic. Because if we can't do that, then how is anyone else supposed to feel, right? Then, like, other people are going to listen and be like, oh, I have to be that organized, or I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's funny, right? Because we're also, we released this e-course, which I feel really good about. I love the content we put into it. But it is funny to release this e-course about how to make the most of your marriage and then go home and tell, like, your husband to fuck off, right? So, like, like both of these things can exist. That, like, we can talk about these things and we can try to utilize them as much as possible. And then we can also still be human. And it's funny because I had somebody who, it was a girlfriend of mine, who was like, oh, like, this is so bad. I, like, what'd she say? She, like, threw something. She, like, was like, you know, I threw a pen at the wall. And I was like, I was like, you're talking to the queen of anger. like, you threw a pen at the wall? Like, that's like me, like, when I'm happy. Like,
just throwing pens at the wall. Like, hooray.
But, like, she was like, wait, like, you do that too? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing crazy shit all the time, man. I'm really trying my best.
I'm doing my best.
I'm just doing my best.
That's I think, what's important is that we say, even as therapists, we know all of this shit.
Yes.
We know the things to do, the things not to do. It is still tough.
Yeah. So, dear Em and Jen, let's do it.
Oh, shit.
Because this one is about, I'm going to answer this one today. Okay, so you can read it.
Give a little song while I'm
telling. Recently, earlier today, one of our amazing clinicians, Dr. Lindsay, was like, Jen, your voice is so pretty. And I was like, oh my God, I know. Shouldn't she do sex tapes?
I was like ASMR. We were like,
and Lindsay was like, I was going to say she should do something with children.
I was like, oh no.
We're like, oh no, Jen can't work with kids.
Okay, this is not the one we. Oh, thank you. This isn't the one.
Thank you, Nikki.
This isn't the one we picked, but I'm going to say it because I think it's important. When is the Handmaid's Tale episode coming out?
Dear Em and Jen. Oh, my God. Can we? That's actually what I want to record about. Well, but listen, if you're someone who watches Handmaids, you have to listen to the podcast Eyes on Gilead. It is life changing. You have to go back, listen to all the episodes of Eyes on Gilead, wherever your podcasts are found.
Wherever you get your podcast.
It is so good. And it, like, goes through, like, all the intricacies in. It's so interesting. If you like Handmaid's, Eyes on Gilead.
Maybe that's why we're having a hard week.
Because Handmaid's wasn't on this week, Handmaid's, and neither was Cruel Summer.
God.
I know. I'm back rewatching Scrubs. Well, someone it's give like, me something better.
It's like we don't have a way to distract ourselves anymore.
We were really living for Wednesdays.
We would every Wednesday we would be like under his eye.
Praise be, bitch.
We've
okay.
been sent good weather. Okay.
So I, first of all, can we do a bonus episode of Handmaid so like nobody actually has to listen to it? Okay, deal. And when people are like, it's a bonus episode, I don't actually know what that means. I think it just means two in 1 week, Nikki. Okay, so we'll totally, we should record that. I would like to.
Okay, you ready? Are you yes. ready for our actual Dear Em and
yes.
Jen? Dear Em and Jen, how do you not get resentful of your partner during a difficult pregnancy? I'm going to let Emily start with this one.
As the queen of infertility, miscarriages, and all things pregnancy, you don't prevent resentments. You don't not do something. That's not how this works. Emotions are not something that we can just not experience, right? But what we can do is be aware of them. What we can do is communicate them. Because I have to tell you something that maybe no one's told you, honestly, in your experience, which is that if you have a difficult pregnancy, there often is a high correlation of having a difficult postpartum. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to give you space for it to be hard and complicated, right? And that if you're having that experience, right? Oh my goodness, my ring hit the mic stand. And there's a part, right? This is something I experience of, you know, when you're going through fertility, you go through pregnancy, like your partner can be there as much as possible. But if they're not another pregnant person, they don't understand it.
Absolutely. And they won't.
And they won't, right? So the resentment isn't about not having it or preventing it. The resentment is communicating and making sure that you are able to communicate what they can do for you. Because there is certain stuff that they can do for you, right? Maybe that is booking a trip. Maybe that is being really, if you really need by the end of the night, you're so exhausted, but you really, it's important for you to get into like a made bed. They can make the bed, right? Like
foot massage.
Like, there's certain things that you really, really, really have to vocalize. The best way to prevent that resentment is to communicate and to vocalize your needs. Because one of the things that we often do when we're experiencing that is to pretend like it's not happening, right? And that's when we say, that's one of my favorite quotes is, You don't have a pretend, you don't have an anger problem, you have a pretending problem. Mm. So you just say like, oh, well, what can they do? They're not pregnant. Well, actually, I can name quite a few. And that's the same thing with postpartum as well. Yes, your partner might not be able to breast or chest feed that child, but they can definitely do the diaper afterwards, do the burping. And it's really, really important to speak up, especially when you're already struggling in your pregnancy.
We chose this question specifically because we think it fits so well with the magical thinking, yes, right?
Where that once the pregnancy is over, yep, I won't feel this way. And a lot of times that does not happen.
Or how do I not feel this,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We get a lot of questions about how do I not this, right? We get
not,
so many
questions. You don't get to control emotions like
how
that.
I know. And so that's, and I know that that's, a common thread in a lot, yeah, of our episodes, that it's not about not feeling it. It's about allowing yourself to feel and say, what do I want to do with this, right? So when we don't allow ourselves to feel it, and when we say, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this, it actually builds up stronger. And then we actually do react. We get more reactive, as opposed to saying and acknowledging, okay, yeah, I do feel a little resentful that, mm-hmm, this is really hard for me and I'm having to do all of this work. And so you get to choose, instead of being reactive, you get to choose and say, how do I want to communicate this to, yep, my partner? How do I want to acknowledge it for myself and then communicate it to my partner?
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we end, can I read one of the poems that was read at my friend Ted's funeral? That would really mean a lot to me.
I would love that. Wait,
okay, I have to walk and go get my phone.
Boop, 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 boop. That means I have to do some of the talking while you're gone.
I'm already back.
And that was it. Thank God.
You're already back. Congratulations. Okay. As always, but first of all, I'm going to do this first. Okay. So this is for our dear friend, Ted, who I wish was with us, and for anyone who is struggling. So Ralph Waldo Emerson, Success. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the beauty in others, to leave the world a little bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know that one life has breathed easier because you lived here. This is to have succeeded.
I'm crying.
Ralph Waldo Emerson. It'll probably come out that that guy's a racist.
Shit.
Ralph Waldo Emerson. I shouldn't have written that. Somebody should have let me Google that first.
Oh,
but
God.
I'm also crying,
oh,
too.
God. Oh, wow.
Hey.
That was beautiful.
This was a chaotic episode. We're chaotic people sometimes.
Listen, we
Jenna's crying.
Right, I am crying.
If this episode related to you, or you liked it, or you think somebody could like it, rate, review, subscribe, and on Apple Podcasts,
follow.
It's now follow. It is not subscribe. That's only for Spotify and other things. So follow us as well. This was today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We
love you.
You.
If you need help, reach out to somebody.
Take care of yourself.
Let yourself be exactly who you are.